Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, 35,000 people descend on Washington, D.C. for the March Against the Mandates. We have Dr. Urso to unpack that and so much more, including what do you do when the government prevents you from treating and saving the lives of your citizens? It's a provocative question, and we explore that. Get involved today with Turning Point USA. Turning Point USA is the nation's largest educational movement focused on passing down American values from one generation to the next. At tpusa.com, you guys can check out our professor watch list, our school board watch list. You guys can check out our store, chip in some money, start a high school or college chapter today. And thanks to the support of over 60,000 grassroots patriots, Turning Point USA reaches and impacts millions of students on campus and online. So please consider joining our cause at tpusa.com. You guys can check out TPUSA Live. And if you're a grandparent or a parent and you're a little nervous, you might be saying, I'm worried about my kids and grandkids becoming left-wingers. Well, you guys can check it out right now at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com to help make sure your kids and grandkids live in a free country. tpusa.com. You can email me directly, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank some of our supporters for getting behind us. I want to thank Laura from Alaska. Love Alaska. Thank you. Gundringa. Devin from Colorado, Sherry from Missouri, Katie from Idaho, Maria from Puerto Rico, Autumn from Indiana, Anne from Utah, and Carol from Minnesota, charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. What do you do when the government prevents you, maybe a governor, maybe a leader, maybe a stakeholder, from treating or helping your constituents? How do you even process such a thing when one level of government decides to crush another that very well might help save the lives of our citizens? Now, we've gone through in great detail the war on early treatments. We don't need to rehash that. We have plenty of content around that on how our government, the federal government, has openly committed crimes against humanity in restricting azithromycin and ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and many other treatments. But now we have a new story, a new wrinkle that is a new low for this regime. Governor DeSantis condemns Biden administration's haphazard decision to revoke authorization of life-saving monoclonal antibody treatments. Governor Ron DeSantis is demanding that the Biden administration reverse its sudden and reckless decision to revoke emergency use authorization for Regeneron and Eli Lilly monoclonal antibody treatments. This abrupt and unilateral action by the Biden regime will prevent access to life-saving treatments for Floridians and Americans. The story is this: FDA restricts use of two monoclonal antibody treatments. I know people's lives who were saved by monoclonal antibodies. Now, their argument is like, well, it's not working that well against Omicron. Well, if not working that well is the standard for revoking emergency use authorization, then maybe you should pull some EUA permits for vaccines. Not working that well. First of all, there's no clinical data to support that. Second of all, there is massive momentum amongst doctors actually on the front lines of how monoclonal antibodies help condition the response and help with Regeneron regenerating white blood cell treatment. And they are life-saving in some cases. Not all the antibodies are effective. It doesn't work all the time, which is why you need to throw the kitchen sink at it with all the other treatments. But now the federal government is coming out and they're saying, nope, not happening. You are not allowed to use monoclonal antibodies. We are going to get in the way of what doctors are able to do with their patients. Now, we've already used all the words on this show. We know that Joe Biden has no concern whatsoever for the mounting deaths, preventable deaths of people that have died from COVID-19. He doesn't care about the 100,000 plus overdose deaths. But what does he care about then? What is the explanation for this? Well, the FDA justification is they say, well, it's unlikely to be active against the Omicron variant. Oh, unlikely. Not that it doesn't work. Not that they have clinical data to show that monoclonal antibodies are doing harm. No, just that it's unlikely. So they revoke the emergency use authorization. But the real reason is to push the Pfizer and Merck pills as the primary authorized therapeutics. You see, they don't want you to go to a monoclonal antibody site. They want you to help Pfizer stock price, which is not doing very well right now because Pfizer owns our government, just like the Sinaloa cartel owns the Mexican government. We are a pharma-controlled state. Mexico is a narco-controlled state. They're going to have a new Netflix series, not called Narcos, just called Pharmas. And that will be the story of our federal health officials and are politicians that take money from Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson and push the products on you even though they might be hurting you. Hours before the FDA shut down the monoclonal antibody treatments to push the pills, CBS just wrote an article about how difficult it is to find the therapeutic pills. So these pills are expensive, they're questionable in its efficacy, and they're hard to find. But don't worry, we're going to revoke monoclonal antibodies. If you actually follow the CDC guidelines, and many of you have probably lost loved ones to COVID that was probably, unfortunately, tragically, and inexplicably very preventable. Many of you have probably lost loved ones to COVID. And a doctor probably just told you, go home. If it gets bad enough, go to a hospital. We have thousands of emails from people that said they went to the hospital in the last 9 months with a loved one, or a loved one checked in, and they were advocating on that loved one's behalf. The hospital refused treatment of ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, refused monoclonal antibodies. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of deaths. Hundreds of thousands of deaths. A domestic campaign against one's own citizens, unlike anything we've ever seen. Now, here's the question, and here's the test for Governor Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis sends out a good press release, but that doesn't do enough for me, and it shouldn't for you. Ron DeSantis condemns Biden's haphazard decision to revoke authorization of life-saving monoclonal antibody treatment. Ron DeSantis, if you want to be president, here's what you do. You tell Biden, we're not listening. Ron DeSantis, if you want to be president, which I think one day you could be, you're America's best governor. You are in a battleground state and you've been heroic at every single corner. Well, now you have a chance to save your constituents' lives. And if nothing else, you have a chance to build a constitutional showdown with the regime. Who gave Biden the authority to tell a doctor in Gainesville, Florida, whether or not they can use monoclonal antibodies to save their patients? Is Joe Biden going to go in and say, hey, you know, you can't use hydroxychloroquine for lupus anymore, even though millions of people use it for lupus? Basically, they are, by the way. Ron DeSantis has an opportunity. I think he's going to step up. Ron DeSantis needs to say, Joe Biden, we're not listening to you. We're going to keep administering this treatment. We don't care if the FDA doesn't say it's approved. We're going to do our own deal. Have a nice life. Ron DeSantis should openly defy Joe Biden on this issue. Joe Biden will back down. What is Joe Biden going to send in the FBI to go arrest a bunch of doctors that are administering monoclonal? Maybe. I'm not kidding. That actually might happen. I'd love to see the optics of that. Doctors that are trying to save their patients' lives, you're going to tell me Joe Biden's going to bring in the feds like he did with the diary with James O'Keefe? When Joe Biden was like, go indict Steve Bannon. Go raid Rudy Giuliani's home. Go raid James O'Keefe's home. Ron DeSantis has an opportunity to step up and show the constitutional structure, separation of powers, consent to the governed, independent judiciary, but also that the states created the federal government. The federal government did not create the states. Florida is a sovereign state. Regardless of what the regime tries to tell you, the FDA has no business. I don't care if there's some sort of guidance memo by some regulatory Pfizer puppet at some level of the FDA that wants to try to get the stock price higher because they want to retire in a couple years and get some board seat on their merger and acquisition board of Pfizer so they could go live on some, you know, vacation home in Naples. Couldn't care less. Instead, what I care about is saving people's lives. And Ron DeSantis should tell Joe Biden, Regeneron works. Monoclonal has saved lives. Take a hike. I'm the governor of Florida. I don't know who you think you are. We're going to keep administering the treatment. If Ron DeSantis doesn't do that, then he will fall in line like the other weak Republican governors, of which he is not, and allow his citizens to die. We'll see what he does. Look, a lot of people are worried right now, and you should be. There's inflation, there's crime everywhere, and people are talking about a major economic collapse. I'm worried about it. I'm not saying it's going to happen for sure, but I'm definitely worried about it. Are you prepared for the worst? What are you going to do if there's an EMP? Do you know what an EMP is? Google it. Electromagnetic pulse. No electricity. Stuck at home. You are 9 meals away from anarchy. 9 meals. And guess what? After 6 meals, people start to get really anxious. They might start coming to your home looking for food. Are you prepared? Do you have the emergency food you can rely on no matter what happens or when? Look, I am an unapologetic prepper. People can make fun of it. They scoff at it. My family will be well fed when things fall apart. I urge you right now to get the 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. They're the nation's largest emergency food company. They've served millions of your fellow Americans over the last 15 years. And they have 48,000 4-star and 5-star reviews from satisfied customers. I got their product stashed away next to my ammunition and my gold. Right now, save $50 on their 4-week emergency food kit, which gives you breakfast, lunch, dinner, drinks, and snacks totaling over 2,000 calories a day. The food stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. It'll be there when you need it. You know, people laugh at preppers. Have you read 20th century history? Do you know what happened in Cambodia, the Soviet Union, Italy, Germany, China? Yeah, things fall apart. Yes, that is a book that many 7th graders read, but also things do fall apart. Second law of thermodynamics, the inevitable law of decay. Are you prepared? Go to preparewithkirk.com. That's preparewithkirk.com. Take out your phone, go to preparewithkirk.com right now and save $50 per kit per person. Act now and your order will ship quickly and arrive discreetly at your door in unmarked boxes. That's preparewithkirk.com, preparewithkirk.com. They defy people all the time. They do whatever they want to do. New York schools told to keep masks after judge overturns mandate. Yeah, they just do whatever they want. They don't care what judges have to say. They don't care what presidents have to say. We're the ones that follow their stupid rules. They don't even follow the correct rules. New York State education officials told school administrators to continue enforcing the state's mask mandate for students and teachers Tuesday, despite a judge ruling overturning it, causing confusion as some districts rushed to make masks optional. The education department said the state has filed notice that it would appeal Monday's ruling by a judge. Quote, while these legal steps occur, it is the New York State's educational department's position that schools should continue to follow the mask rule, even though the judge has said it's unconstitutional, it can't be enforced. They're still going to have mask mandates in schools. We've been experiencing this for quite some time. Republicans are so slow to the game and, quite honestly, behind the ball. They have not cared what judges say for a long time. They built sanctuary cities in New York and Boston and Portland and San Francisco and Chicago in open defiance to federal immigration law, despite what judges were saying. They have always looked at the courts as a means to the end, but never as an interruption to their actual aims or ambitions. Now, the story is this, is that a New York judge has officially struck down the mask mandate, and the appeal hearing is possibly this afternoon. Now, in New York, they have – this is NBCNewYork.com. They say there's a massive COVID surge, and it's too bad for the people of New York. My heart goes out for you. You just have a leadership class that doesn't believe in treatments, so they're just kind of leaving you out to die. I wish that wasn't the case. New York judge ruled Monday that the state mask mandate cannot be enforced after it was reinstituted by Governor Kathy Hochul over concerns about a winter surge of coronavirus cases. The Attorney General's office immediately filed an intent to appeal, but acknowledged Tuesday morning that the mandate was for now not in place until a hearing could be held. So this is some good news. It's some momentum that even in the liberal, dystopian, left-wing capital of America, New York, that the mask mandate gets struck down. They're not going to listen to it, as I just said. But there is some momentum, at least in lifting some of these mandates, in giving people their lives back. But I think that there's going to be portions of America that are going to be so, let's say, focused on the masks and the lifestyle alongside of it. I'm going to make a prediction. I think certain pockets of America, pockets, not the whole country, New York, parts of New Jersey, I don't think they're ever going to lift mask mandates. I think there are parts of New York where you will never see a waiter or waitress's face again for the next couple of years, if not next decade. I think that the mask offers this cloth virtue signal. It's also a fake comfort, is what it is. I also think it allows antisocial people the opportunity not to actually have to converse with people. I think it allows a generation that doesn't actually want to look people in the eyes or have legitimate connections to be able to avoid humanity, to avoid existence. I think that the overindulgence in masks is the very same sort of antisocial behavior that we see from 8 or 9 year olds that are addicted to smartphones or iPads that just kind of stare at the ground and they kind of mumble to themselves. You've all seen it, where they don't want to look adults in the eyes. They get very sheepish, which, of course, we've created an entire generation like that because of these mask mandates. There's even articles out there that show that people are writing that, I don't know if I'm ever going to be comfortable not wearing my mask again. And make no mistake, the mask has very little to do with epidemiology. We know that. People know that by now. The vaccines work so well, why do they need to keep wearing masks? We've been through that whole thing. Instead, it's a deeper coping mechanism of either control by the autocrats and the tyrants and trying to have this automatic obedience. All the while, people that willingly actually feel comfortable because it is the public marker. It is the display to the rest of the world that I will let you dominate me. So I don't know if there's going to be parts of the country that ever lift these mask mandates. One of the most horrendous things I saw yesterday, a picture of a first grade class in the yearbook and every kid wearing a mask. The Lord gave us a face for a reason. We are the speaking beings. You're able to see so much in a person's face. It's dehumanizing. But isn't their whole agenda dehumanizing? It's actually par for the course. It's consistent with every single public policy measure that they put forward, whether it be masking children or allowing urban crime to go unchecked or the abortion policies or chemical castration of children. Dehumanization is what they do. Let me ask you something. What if there was someone out there who kept a log of every single thing you did every minute of the day? I think that would be really creepy. Well, if I told you that's exactly what happens every time you go online? Your internet provider is allowed to store logs of every website you have ever visited and then can legally sell this data to anyone. That's why I use ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN reroutes your internet connection through their secure servers so your internet providers can't see or log what you do online. Now, many of you might be wondering, what if I'm routing all my data through a VPN? Then doesn't mean the VPN can see what I'm doing instead. Well, you're right to think that. Many VPNs claim to have no logs policy, but then they've been caught logging customer activity. ExpressVPN is the only VPN I trust because they used a trusted server technology. They were the first major VPN to engineer all the VPN servers to run in RAM, R-A-M. This makes it impossible for their VPN servers to store any data, including logs of any ExpressVPN customer. And you don't have to take my word for it. ExpressVPN is so confident in their no logs claim, they even had one of the biggest assurance firms, PricewaterhouseCoopers, audit their technology. It's no wonder that The Verge named ExpressVPN the number one VPN in the world. Stop letting people keep logs of what you do online. Visit expressvpn.com/Charlie right now and find out how you can get 3 months free. That's expressvpn.com/Charlie, expressvpn.com/Charlie to learn more. This last weekend, something incredible happened. There were two marches in Washington, D.C., the March for Life, which happens every single year, but then an unexpected march that happened, anyway, over the weekend, and it was incredible. It was the March to Defeat Mandates. Well over 35,000 people descended on Washington, D.C., and what's been incredible is the media blackout. I meant to get to the story yesterday. We just couldn't do it justice, but it's actually better that we're doing it today. Because we got to keep the momentum going. We have to keep this story alive. Because it's truly remarkable what the organizers and the planners of this event were able to pull off. There were Republicans, there were Democrats, there were vaccinated people, unvaccinated people. It was all about ending the mandates. Something we've talked about on the show for quite some time. Something we've talked about at Turning Point USA for quite some time. And with us is one of the organizers, someone who I believe we had on the show last summer while... it was a year and a half ago. It's Dr. Richard Urso, who is a medical doctor and a scientist with the highest honors from the University of Texas, and he is from the Global COVID Summit. Doctor, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Welcome. Thanks, Charlie. Appreciate you having me on there.
So tell us what happened this last weekend. It looked extraordinary.
It was a lot of good energy. You know, we pulled it together over just a couple of months. We had a fantastic attendance. I think we had a lot of energy. We've been working on this the entire time. We took basically a group of doctors that basically the core, you know, from Hopkins, Harvard, Stanford, and we took these guys and we created a group called the International Alliance of Physicians and Scientists. And we recognized that we're using medicine as the tip of the spear to basically, you know, change our society, create a tyranny and a mandate that didn't make any sense. So one of the goals was we wanted to show that this has been a scientific fraud. So the civil liberty side of it, of course, is one thing, but it's actually been a scientific fraud. And so a lot of what's going on with these mandates actually makes no scientific sense.
And you've been on that since the beginning. I remember we chatted back in the summer of 2020. We had that summit. It was kind of funny. There are a lot of people trying to wear masks and also it was because they were forcing masks on us at Trump Hotel. It was this wild thing. But you were just as clear and as wise then as you are today. And I say that for a reason. And look, I think latecomers to the party should always be accepted. But all of a sudden, there is kind of this new building consensus like, oh, yeah, you know, maybe these things don't work the way they should. And it's kind of like, well, the people that were early were actually doing real science. Talk a little bit about that, because, you know, you would think that the one portion of American life or the one area that dogma would be the least important would be science. And yet it's been a learning lesson for me. It seems as if the scientific method, as we learn it in first grade, was just completely put aside and we put dogma or even idol worship of a human being, Fauci, well above what clinical data was showing us.
It's funny. The way you phrased it, I'll have to give you something I teach people. I tell them, medicine, there's things you must do. And then things you can do, also things maybe you should do. But then we have what Fauci and those guys are doing, which is voodoo and doo-doo. So, I mean, in general, you know, the scientific fraud has been a big, big thing. And we knew right from the beginning, how can you say when you have a disease right back in March 2020, I started using steroids. I said, it's an inflammatory disease. And people were like, it's not, it's a virus. I go, the virus is dead after 6 or 7 days, period. All respiratory viruses do that. And I said, you know, I started using steroids and some of the other drugs, got attacked for it. But I knew Charlie, one thing you didn't mention, been in drug development. I'm one of the only docs probably that's invented, single-handedly invented an FDA-approved drug. So I basically have a real big background in the lab, 11 years, as well as being a doctor for the last 33. So it was real easy for me to come up with strategies that might work. And I was really shocked. I didn't understand at first that there was coordinated effort to suppress all this. So at first I thought I was just going to call people, but clearly you saw the censorship, you saw all the being erased from Wikipedia, being erased from scientific discoveries like Malone. They said he's, you know, not the inventor of messenger RNA technology. So all of this has been a complete fabrication. The asymptomatic transmission, the masks are amazing and work really well. I mean, none of this was true, you know, so it's been a fraud from the beginning and they keep doing it. Looks like we're getting to a little turning point. We could talk about that a little bit.
I think you're right. And I think that march that you helped organize was a big part of that. We're starting to see more and more people wake up. We're starting to see a little bit, let's say, less intensity from people like Fauci. He's still spewing nonsense, but it's not like a 10 out of 10. It's a little bit like a 6 out of 10. You can start to see a little bit of hesitancy. Talk about why you think we're hitting a turning point, one of my favorite words, and kind of talk, you know, give us some pieces of evidence to support that.
So, you know, medically, what we're seeing is that the virus has changed. So I tell everybody, it's like we had the Wuhan variant, Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, right? And those are all relatives. They're like first cousins or brothers and sisters. And now we have Omicron. It's a little different animal. It's like the uncle or the milkman came in and something happened, and this is a little different virus. And it doesn't bind as strongly. It doesn't cause as much disease. People can, if you're sick, you know, if you have comorbidities, you still can die from Omicron. But for most people, it's more of a cold. They're kind of a good flu, actually. You'd be pretty symptomatic. So this has been a big thing because we are starting to see so many people. It's very contagious. So we have probably almost 60 to 70% of the people in the United States now that have had these viruses. So herd immunity, in a sense, is taking place. Natural immunity deniers need to be called out. Natural immunity deniers need to be called out for what they are. It's a complete farce. And natural immunity is the best immunity. There's nothing you could do with a vaccine that's going to be better than natural immunity. And so those are the things we're seeing. The virus has changed. We have a lot of herd immunity. The vaccines don't work. They're too leaky. These are facts. It's not I would love to tell everybody that they were fantastic. They're not. And we're just trying to point it out. We've got a better way. Early treatment is amazing. And we have a lot of herd immunity now. And the virus has weakened.
The CDC has come out and they said, yeah, herd immunity, I guess, is okay, but it's better to have herd immunity, natural immunity plus a vaccine. That's their new thing. What are we supposed to make of that?
I love it. So for everybody on the show, there are 146 studies to show that natural immunity is much superior. The best thing we could say is on the lowest level, about 13 times better than vaccinated immunity. So if you're naturally immune, you're going to be much more resistant. And as we're seeing with Omicron, we're seeing breakthroughs in the vaccinated people. It's literally like, I tell people, it's like wearing a blue shirt. Wearing a blue shirt doesn't help fight the virus, neither does a vaccine. In fact, it may be in many countries, we're seeing that the rates of Omicron are actually higher in the vaccinated people, like the percentage, the per 100,000. So the CDC has had to give up that whole ship, right? So they basically said, we're going to make a new thing called super immunity. There's no medical term as super immune. Almost laughable. I love their messaging. If the government says it's an advantage, it's probably a disadvantage. If they say it's affordable, it's probably unaffordable. And if they say it's super, it's probably the opposite. You know, so that's how the government works. No, there's no such thing as super immunity.
Super immunity. I can't believe it. So. I want to ask you about the story this morning, breaking the last 24 hours. Biden comes out and says no more emergency use authorization for monoclonal antibodies. Ron DeSantis is really irritated with this. Some people are saying it's not working as well against Omicron. There isn't a definitive answer on that. But let's just talk more broadly about what monoclonal Regeneron has been able to positively do the last 6 or 9 months. And what is the thought process behind this?
So this has been a fantastic addition to our armamentarium. The monoclonals from Regeneron have really helped a lot. They saved a lot of lives. We have other things that have saved a lot of lives. I won't even go down the list because it's so many. So if anybody thinks it's ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, I literally can tell you there's a doc that we're real familiar with. It's treated 7,000 patients without hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin with only 2 deaths. So we literally have, in a way, it's because it's inflammatory, Charlie. It's an inflammatory disease and it's a blood clotting disease.
Yes.
We have drugs for blood clotting and inflammation, but let's go back to the monoclonals. The monoclonals are real specific. So each time they're made, in a sense, you have to think of an antibody as being like a car key. It's very specific. So as the virus mutates, it may or may not work so well. And there is some concern, but we really don't know. They literally just shut them down. I'll tell you this, and I hate to reveal this, but I'm going to say it. We know some of the people that are doing some of the work on sequencing, and we're still seeing a good amount of Delta. So Regeneron is still working against Delta. In some states, there's very little, but in some states, there's still a good amount of Delta. So this is the, we call this, Charlie, the practice of medicine. There's a nuance. So in other words, just getting stuff from the CDC and the FDA, no, multiple people's minds, they are not, our group of 17,000 doctors and scientists is more than the NIH, more than the CDC and FDA. So people need to hear that. And these guys are world-class, all right? We are doing our own data because they're not doing it right. So the Regeneron works and the Omicron doesn't, they say, but we don't have our own data for that, that it doesn't work. And there's one from GlaxoSmithKline that does work against Omicron, but we're not, we don't have access to it yet. So people should be excited about the monoclonals. People should know that they are working. The government has hamstrung us and they should feel upset about it because we literally spent billions on other strategies that clearly don't work.
It's beyond maddening. And Ron DeSantis is saying this is going to cost people's lives. And that's the most important point. I said that on our show. I said there's still Delta out there. Omicron isn't the only, you know, variant. And wouldn't it be wise or prudent at the very least to trust doctors and then also keep these centers open? What if there's another unexpected variant? I mean, we got monkeys running around Pennsylvania infecting people, and that's not a joke. I mean, you got all sorts of weird stuff going on. I want you to wait right there. I want to ask you about the 17,000 doctors. I think it's so interesting and so admirable and honestly difficult to put together that many people to agree on to anything. To get 17,000 people to agree on anything is incredible, let alone doctors. So Dr. Urso, 17,000 doctors. That's incredible. What did they sign on to?
So we originally started the movement, all the way back. And I was working with all these doctors and many different venues. And we started with Pierre Corey, myself, Peter McCullough, and eventually brought Malone in. And then we kind of we didn't really agree on some things. So we kind of split apart a little bit. And then as the data started coming in on the vaccine, we decided, hey, let's form this group. Let's literally try to make a difference. Let's literally try to be cohesive because they're trying to pick us apart one at a time. And at the end of the day, all of us have really great science backgrounds. And we were just trying to make sure that we wouldn't get picked apart. So we decided to form the group back in August. And it literally grew because of the great people who came on board early, Harvey Risch and Peter McCullough and Malone is our president. And we've got, so many others from MIT and Hopkins and Harvard. And we just got an illustrious group right off the bat and then put together something that basically says the patient-physician relationship has been ruined by basically the hospitals and the insurers have created the corporate practice of medicine. What that means is that the patient-physician relationship has suffered because literally they are telling us what to do, how to treat, you know, how to message to our patients, and we thought it was wrong. So what happened next, though, is we formed a three-pronged thing, indisputable evidence of three things. And number one, do not vaccinate our children. They do not have a need to be vaccinated. They have 0.1 per 100,000 in the 5 to 11-year-old age group. They really don't suffer from this disease. It makes no sense to vaccinate our children. Number two, natural immunity denial needs to be called out. Natural immunity is the most superior immunity there is. For instance, Charlie, 2003 SARS-CoV-1 patients are still immune to SARS-CoV-2 18, 19 years later. And number three, let doctors be doctors. We know what to do. Patients trust us when we have their interest in mind. Put the patient's interest and the doctor's interest align the same and let the doctors be doctors and let patients have informed consent. And that was the three things, the three pillars of what we did. We have indisputable evidence that there's early treatment. We have indisputable evidence that natural immunity is the best. And we have indisputable evidence that there's serious harm to children from these vaccines.
So we have 2 minutes remaining. Really quickly, where do you see this going next? Do you think that there's momentum and a consensus building? Where do you see this going?
So we ended up in the Senate on Monday, all of us testifying. We had a great time. Senator Johnson's fantastic.
He is. I agree.
Who he's involved in helping the movement and getting the message out. And I do want to thank you so much for doing so much for trying to put the message of science ahead of science fiction. So that's really important to me to get that message out through people like yourself and Senator Johnson. And so we are going to keep going. We have the Global COVID Summit. We're going on a traveling tour. We're going to Hawaii next. Then we're going to Arizona. We're going to Texas. We'll be going back to Florida, Georgia. We'll be going pretty much every week or every other week to travel and bring this message. Because, Charlie, it's a global problem, but we've got to act on the local side. So we're thinking, how do we organize people? We have to reorganize. You can't trust, as much as we love our legislators, as much as we love a lot of our people on our school boards, we have to reinvent ourselves from the ground up. And we're going to reinvent ourselves. We're going to do a decentralized medicine. We're going to do our own WebMD. We're then going to take over telehealth for people who want. We're going to have a huge telehealth platform. We're going to do more urgent cares and ambulatory cares for doctors who are independent and will be put patients first. And then we're going to do surgeries in hospitals. We are going to reinvent medicine, decentralized medicines, not controlled by government, not controlled by the insurers, and not controlled by pharmaceutical companies and hospitals.
Doctor, you got to think bigger. You're doing wonderful. We're going to change it all. I love it. When you're in Arizona, please come by. You're a hero. You have been so ahead of the times with this, and honestly, one of the great defenders of our liberties, because all this stuff is connected. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Thank you so much, Dr. Urso, from the Global COVID Summit. We'll see you in Arizona when you're here. We appreciate it very much. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.